Okay. Well, Michael's just about ready to purchase and pick up a new truck.
Nice.
And we're really blessed about that. One of the things that they're going to have to check over is all the systems within it, right? And one of the most important systems is the electrical system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a problem with the electrical system in your car? It is a nightmare, or at least it can be, for them to sometimes find that. But the heart of the electrical system in a car is what? Called a battery. Without the battery, the computer don't work, nothing else works. Everything starts with the battery. And when we believed, Romans 10, 9, and 10, we received the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, is that latent energy that God puts in every child of His. It's the same energy, same dunamis power that was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had the power without measure. It was not limited. And other men and women who had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they many times had it upon condition. And sometimes those conditions limited the use or the power of that gift or that blessing that they had of walking by the Spirit. In other words, not everything that the Holy Spirit could do, they could do. But Jesus Christ had it without measure, without any kind of limitations. Everything that it could be, He got. And that is how it is described in what we received. That we receive the same unlimited, unfettered, unchained, unharnessed power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great?
Yes.
This is the best time to be alive ever. The only time that's going to get better than this is the next administration. When we will not only have that full power, but we're also going to have a new body. Jeez. That is exciting. So, I'm trying to put it kind of in a senses world description by saying it's like that battery in the car. But it's so much bigger than that and so much more fuller than that. But, just like a battery in the car, if it's not used, what happens to the battery?
Dies.
It gets dull.
Dull.
And what do you have to do? Jump start it. You get your old jump starter out there. Sometimes we have this little battery pack thing with the cables that connect on there. I got one of those in my RV. And sometimes you can hook up another car through the battery cables. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, isn't that how it works sometimes among believers? That we get energized off of the other believers? Mm-hmm. Great reason to come to fellowship is that we get energized. It's like a jump starting. But we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. And the title of this is Knowledge and Understanding. Knowledge and Understanding. And we'll start in verse 7 of chapter 1 of Colossians. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I love that this man's work was being recognized as a faithful minister. A faithful minister of Christ. That's why I love the name we picked out for us. Faithful in Christ Ministries. So, this guy was a faithful minister, and he not only was faithful to them, but he was faithful to relay back their love for each other in Christ, in the Spirit, how they were taking care of each other, because that really what how love is recognized in what we do for each other. Isn't that neat? It's how we give in those areas of what of the need is. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now they're doing good, but the prayers are also needed when we're doing good. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't just when we're having problems that we need prayer, but we also need prayer when we're doing well. When we're walking by the Spirit and doing great things, we need that prayer. There's a lot of benefits to praying for somebody who's doing good. Mm-hmm. That the adversary, there's no evil that affects their life. Things are able to stay away that are troublesome. Those kind of things. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of what?
His will.
In all what?
Wisdom.
And spiritual understanding. So it isn't that just having the Spirit is where we stop. You know, it's like, okay, this one aspect of your spiritual walk, we really got a handle on. We're really doing good at. Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That encompasses the full Christian life. Everything that there is that God has available for us, He wants us to know about. He wants us to be enjoying. And you can't do that until you are in this absorption capacity. Alex and I were having a wonderful talk on the way over here about somebody that we've both been praying for lately. But it becomes very obvious that when people no longer want your help, then it's very hard to force somebody to want your help. You can't do it. You can't do it. But you can continue to pray for them. That you can do. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what?
The knowledge
of God. So there it is again. We need to increase in our knowledge of God and spiritual understanding. Fred did a great teaching at the men's weekend about how we need to continue not only with this realization that we are born again, but translate that into the work that God wants us to do. It doesn't just stop there. It's a beginning of the life that God wants us to have. And so as we step out and start doing His will, as just mentioned, knowledge of His will in all wisdom, then we start to see God energizing. He is energizing that dunamis to bring about exousia. That's the Greek word for exercise power. Because otherwise that battery is just sitting there. It has all the potential in the world to making that car run as best as it possibly can. But until the key is turned, and you might think of that as believing, that when you turn the key in your car, aren't you expecting it to start? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's our intended outcome. Turn the key, it's going to start. And it's going to take me where I want to go. Well, believing is like that. You got to have that action of anticipation. Anticipating that it's going to happen. Now, here's where we get in this. Verse 11. Strengthened. Strengthened. You know what that Greek word is? Dunamis. Or dunamo. 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 Which is the verb of dunamis. Strengthened with all might. You know what that one is? Dunamis. That is the noun. So it's like that jump-starting. Power. Jump-starting the power. In other words, rev it up. Rev it up. Get that power going. According to His glorious power. You know what that Greek word is?
Ignorance?
No! It's kratos. Kratos.
I don't know that.
Kratos means... you ever watch the WWF? Those big guys, and they're, you know, they got strong muscles and stuff like that. Their intention is to dominate their opponent. They dominate your opponent. I know it's mostly a show, but they got to be pretty athletic to do what they're doing. Enough for WWF. It is, but the point in any wrestling match is one wants to dominate the other. Mm-hmm. Well, this is that word kratos, the strength that dominates. And for God, that is our Father, and He dominates with His strength every situation to our benefit. To our benefit. That's what He wants to do. He wants to dominate the adversary. He wants to dominate to bring about His will. And He will do that. And He will do that. All we got to do is what? Believe. Mm-hmm. Believe. That's all it's waiting on, is our believing. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And there's where I see the anticipation. There's where I see the anticipation. So when you believe, you anticipate, and because you're anticipating, you're happy in a spiritual sense. You're joyful because you know it's going to come to pass. You know that the thing that you are asking for is going to happen. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Well, you're giving thanks because you know He's going to do it. Which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Well, what kind of inheritance are we going to receive? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So that the blessings that He received, we get. We get the same inheritance because we're kids too of God. By God's making that available to us. I know, kind of takes your breath away. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. From the power of darkness. And that's the domination that God has over darkness. It's like a weakling. It's like, who was that little guy? I can't remember. It was, this character was a real weakling and he was sissified and all this stuff on
Mighty
TV.
Mouse?
No. Okay, picture the skinniest nerd that you can think of. That was the power that the adversary has compared to the greatest athletic domination that could be imagined. Just there is no comparison.
No
comparison at all. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's translated us. He's moved us into that kingdom of His dear Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I mean, within these seven verses, it's incredible all that was just laid out. The power, the dunamis, the inherent strength that God has over the adversary, so that we could have received redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins? Amazing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened. Now, this is interesting. It's not dunamis. It's not any of that, it is again going back to krataio, which is the verb form of kratos, that which God has. He wants us to have that, to be strengthened in that dominating power with might, which is dunamis. That's the Greek word might, is dunamis. So he wants us to be more than conquerors because of that power of the Holy Spirit that he gave you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And there it becomes not only a spiritual reality, but that Christ dwells in your heart means that now you have renewed not only spiritually, but mentally yourself. Because your heart is you. That's the innermost part of you. That's where all the issues of life emanate from. When Christ dwells there, then your walk becomes Christ-like. Because you are obeying that Christ in you. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. There, that knowledge part is to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Isn't that great? That's a figure speech. I want you to know something that you cannot know. I want you to know something that by your five senses you could just never understand. But I want you to know it. Which passeth knowledge. What verse am I? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all. Exceedingly abundantly above all. All what?
That we ask.
That you ask or think. According to the power, again, that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. That power of the Holy Spirit works in us. Now, we took a look at these issues at our camp this summer. How does that power of the Holy Spirit work within us? And how do we know it's working within us? How can we recognize it that it's the power of God and not just me, O Lord? There is wonderful ways laid out in God's Word that we can walk by the Spirit and know that we're walking by the Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Unto him who? God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So who is God to time? Throughout all ages.
Yeah.
There's a scripture in the Old Testament says that his creation fits within the span of his hand.
Wow.
That's from there to there. God's got a pretty big hand.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is look up in the sky and realize that. Just how much volume we're talking about. And of all the volume that he created, we are on a little speck called Earth. And on Earth, we are even a smaller speck. A much smaller speck. And in that little small speck, he chose to put the power of the Holy Spirit.
Which expands.
Which, if you're comparing what he created, that stands in a pale comparison to what he created in you. What he created in you. And he creates a new one every time somebody believes. Every time somebody believes, he creates that power in each one of them. And why I say it pales in comparison is that those are pieces of rock. We have the living Christ within us. The same power that created the heavens and the earth is the kind of power that God put in us. He put in us that which He is, Holy Spirit. So, do we have a dunamos? Do we have one heck of a battery?
I think so.
You betcha. Now, what takes away? What mutes that power?
Fear.
I tell you what, the lies of the devil is what tricks people out of believing this. Let's go to Ezekiel 13.
Ooh, way back.
Go over to that part of your Bible that isn't... Oh, well, nobody's using it except for Elizabeth. She's got a real Bible.
What chapter?
13, verse 19. Ezekiel 13:19. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? Ezekiel 13:19.
Sorry.
Okay. You got it now? Okay. Will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls of alive that should not live, by your what?
Lying
to my people that hear your lies. Now these were holy men he was chastising here. You know, people believed in these guys to tell them what the will of the Lord was, because they didn't have Holy Spirit. So they were looking for their spiritual leaders to tell them the truth. But what were they doing? They were telling them lies for greed. You know. And he puts that kind of greed as handfuls of barley and pieces of bread. Like, the most greed you can ever have is like, to what I can provide. Verse 20, wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and to tear them upon your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. I really don't understand all that.
Greek.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a great Orientalism there, but we'll look it up someday. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, they thought they had control over these people. And he was telling them that you don't. You don't, and I'm going to break those bonds that you think you have. Verse 22, because your lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. Boy, when I think of the kinds of teachings that have come down through the centuries in the Christian church that just put people into condemnation, made them so sad that they are not living up to what their imagination of what God wants for them. By their lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. It is what we share with God's people can make all the difference of whether they are being delivered or being put in bondage. Because the teaching of the Word is going to do one or the other. If it's rightly divided and bringing the truth of God's Word to people, you know what it's going to do? It's going to set them free. If you teach anything off of that, I don't care how little it is, it starts to put people into bondage. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll finish up there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 9. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." You know who that Mark is? The same one that he and Paul and Barnabas argued over because Mark left their mission and went home. Now, when he didn't want Mark with him before, now he wants Mark because he is profitable. There was something that happened. I don't know what it is, but I love that this reconciliation between Paul and Mark happened. "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." So sometimes people teach wrong things that hurt people. And sometimes you have to make people aware. Because if they are allowed to come into the fellowship and teach those poor, bad doctrines, then it does nothing but enslaves people. Verse 17. 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord did what?
Stood with me.
That's right. "And strengthened me." And this word for strengthened is in dynamo, in dunamis. That's from the word dunamis. "He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known." That is what happens when a person is strengthened from the Lord, when that energizing happens. What happens? What's the result? The word is taught. The word is magnified. God gets the glory, the magnification. Jesus Christ is made known. "And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Who's the lion?
The devil.
He goes about roaring, seeking whom he may devour. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, not long after this, Paul was executed.
Oh, really?
He was. But it just to take a person's life is not nearly comparable to take his heart and to make him discouraged to where he stops teaching the word. Or she stops teaching the word because they're discouraged. But that's where his prayer life was. And because the words that he wrote here, we're reading today, his life had such a tremendous impact that we now know about the age of grace, the time that which we live, and all that we have in this time that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic?
Wonderful.
And I thank God that he chose men like Paul, Peter, and all the rest, that they stood faithful, and they got their battery charge daily. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, came to make known your word. Thank you that we have all the things that we have because of him, and that we walk in his steps every day. And it's in his powerful name that we pray. Amen.